Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, he's back, Dr. Travis Yates. And, you know, you can also get more information about him. It is, and open up your mic, Travis, travisyates.org.
.org.
I want to make sure I got the org. Okay.
If you go to .com, you will definitely know it's not me.
Okay. All right. And hey, you can also track him down, you know, on LinkedIn as well. So thanks for being on the show. He's also retired major from the Tulsa Police Department a couple of years ago. So thanks so much for being on the show. Also, Jeff Weninger at jeffweninger.com, retired lieutenant from LAPD. And he was a former commander over there, retired about a year ago. He actually was in charge of Rampart when the DOJ stepped in to clean up the mess they had over there. And they put Jeff Weninger in charge. And he also has just written a new book called On Thin Ice. It has not been released yet, but don't let that worry you. Go to jeffweninger.com to get more information on Thin Ice. You want to be one of the first people to get a hold of that book. So, and Travis Yates has also written The Courageous Police Leader, which you might be familiar with. We got people on the show that are commenting, subscribers that had the book, and they love it. So we got two books out there for you guys. But sign up at jeffweninger.com to get lined up for his book. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Our title sponsor, Gulls.com. Comply Technologies is our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. We're on our fifth week right now, satellite radio. Gunlearner.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to about 1.5 million people right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at Leo Roundtable. And Lieutenant Jeff, are we doing a TwoBells giveaway today, a $20 giveaway? We are, with a coolie? Oh, I love it. I love it. So we are going to be doing a giveaway as well from TwoBells. That means $20 off anything you get at our online store. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these other things for helping make this show happen. And now, guys, man, we've got some great headlines, some stuff that's happened over the weekend. Now, the first one is not a good one. It's the act of terror at Colorado Outdoor Mall leaves several injured and some set on fire. So we're going to mention that in the beginning. We've also got, and I'm not going to hold this any longer, Jeff, we've got the San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott has been tapped to head the LA Metro Police Force. And there's a little bit of history there. So we're going to have Jeff Weninger talk about that. Then we got Aurora Police. And this is, we've got, you know, our Todd Chamberlain coming over, the chief from Aurora Police. He's going to be joining the show, I think, this week. But we have a body cam deadly shooting of a trespasser that decides that he wants to fight with the cop. And so it didn't turn out, I don't think, the way that he wanted, unless he was looking for suicide by cop. Then we got an NYPD officer shoot a guy threatening their mother, the bad guy's mother, with a knife inside the apartment. Yeah, he's got the knife up to her throat, and don't let that discourage you, because then we've got another one where we got Fresno police officer shoots a suspect in the head because he's holding a woman hostage with a knife. She's holding a woman. She's holding another woman hostage with a knife to the back of her neck. And then we got a judge drops a case against a Michigan detective who hit and killed a guy named Samuel Sterling. And then if we have time to get to our last one, domestic violence suspect shot by police when he holds an object in a shooting stance after a pursuit. Yeah, we got some wild stories. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and cover the first one. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Act of terror at Colorado Outdoor Mall leaves several injured, some set on fire. There is a definite takeaway from this that I see that I want to make sure that we cover, but multiple people were injured, some reportedly set on fire in an attack at a popular outdoor pedestrian mall that's in Boulder, Colorado. This happened on Sunday. Police have taken the guy in the custody in connection with the incident. The FBI described it as a targeted terror attack. And it turned at a pedestrian mall where demonstrators were gathered for a rally. They were calling for the release of hostages held in Gaza. Boulder Police Chief Steve Redfern addressed reporters on Sunday evening, stating that it was too early to discuss a motive and that the witnesses were being interviewed. And then we've got FBI Director Kash Patel announcing on social media that our agents and local law enforcement are on the scene already, and we will be sharing updates as more information comes available. And it goes on to say that Boulder police rapidly moved in to evacuate several blocks of this usually busy pedestrian mall area. Several victims, there were several victims, they're confirming, but they did not provide specific details, at least at the time that this announcement was made. And they didn't give numbers about the extent of the injuries either. Unconfirmed reports from witnesses indicate the suspect may have used Molotov cocktails in the attack. So that's what we know so far. And I don't have any more additional information on this one right now. This one, I just kind of came across, you know, this morning. I was unaware of it, to be honest with you. Any commentary on this? And let me just say this, the takeaway from this, you know, we have the law enforcement, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, and that enables cops to carry anywhere within the United States, even in Puerto Rico and Alaska and the Virgin Islands, you know, so, look, that was enacted so that we can be armed and ready, even if we're retired, if something like this goes down. So my takeaway from this is that be aware of your surroundings, be cognizant of what's going on, so that when something like this goes down, you know, we've trained all our lives for this. And if this goes down, I want to be the dude that takes down the bad guy. And hopefully that a lot of people watching the show feel the same way. So if you're not carrying under LEOSA, you should be, unless there's something going on with the disability retirement out or something, you know, please consider it. You've got the capability to do that and arguably responsibility. Dr. Travis Shapes.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. And, you know, the interesting part, Chip, is once again, the media destroyed themselves. We talk about this many times here, but I mean, we're just a week or two away from the guy that murdered the two people in New York, you know, at a similar thing at a Jewish museum, I believe. I'm sorry, Washington, D.C., and that was out of the news as soon as it came in the news. The fact you didn't even know about this, that they're not going to talk about this. So it's certainly odd. And then, of course, you know, Colorado is not oddly enough, is not a big pro Second Amendment state. It doesn't shock me that there weren't people around with weapons. And you're right about the LEOSA Act. But, I mean, are we tired yet of police chiefs in liberal cities that don't understand what a terrorist attack looks like? I mean, how many boxes do you have to check for a police chief in a Portland or a Boulder or a San Francisco to say, yeah, it's a terrorist attack? Because I can guarantee you, if it was some dude with a freaking red hat on, they'd be calling it a terrorist attack. So it's just so annoying. And I do miss the old days of the FBI, where they would wait 3 weeks to announce it was a terrorist attack. So fortunately, they're coming out with common sense all of a sudden and actually saying what it is. Why are we scared to say this? I don't understand that. This is happening more and more. No one seems to want to acknowledge it. And by the way, it's happening, tends to happen on one side of the aisle, right? On one side of the equation. And people aren't talking about it. And it's very unfortunate because terror is terror. Violence is violence. I don't care. Everybody wants to put politics around this stuff. But who wants to acknowledge the fact that the narrative is no doubt driving some of this violence? I mean, why does this guy hate this so much? Probably because of what's been perpetuated across the country, including college campuses. And nobody wants to acknowledge that. So I think we're very fortunate that we at least have an administration in D.C. that's trying to address this hatred. I never thought I would live in a country that would have open hatred like this. And the very people that want to deny First Amendment rights, I don't know, a few years ago for other things, are all of a sudden holding up First Amendment that it's okay to spew this hatred around our country. And of course, there's always an element of mentally deranged people that takes it further than speech. We saw that under assassination attempts with Trump, and we see this now. And so this is happening and happening and happening. And I think our country's got to rise up against this.
You know, how great would it be to have a story like this? And I get to the punchline to where, you know, the bad guy, you know, he starts to do his thing. And then we got, you know, four or six, you know, off-duty cops or half retired to just light this dude up and just, you know, blow him away. I mean, or even civilians that are carrying. The only issue is that if you pull out a gun and you're not on duty, you're not in uniform, people don't necessarily know who you are. I'd much rather would do it in front of cops that, you know, that are looking for me holding my badge up as opposed to some civilian that thinks I'm just some other bad guy and takes me out too. But I really am hoping that we start having people lighten up these bad guys before they get much of a chance to get traction behind their actions.
Well, Chip, I don't want to be a cynic here, but I'm just going to be a realist. You're in Boulder, Colorado, an extremely liberal district attorney.
Yeah.
Who's going to step up, you know, and do the right thing? Well, certainly we have people that do, but this impacts people. I mean, we're not too far off from prosecuting a guy in New York City that did the same thing in a subway where a guy was threatening to kill people, right? And they made that guy, I mean, the media turned that guy into the biggest racist you ever heard of, and he was trying to defend the lives of the people there on the subway. And that's just one story of many. So I think we are in a country where we're very hesitant to do the right thing. And so, I mean, the deck is stacked against the good people, so to speak.
I hear you. Well, speaking of good people, we have Lieutenant Jeff Winninger with an open mic. So,
well, you know, truth be told, we're seeing an increase of this domestic terrorism. I mean, look back to December where you had the United Healthcare CEO that was shot and killed in New York City. And then you had the New Orleans incident on January 1st. And then all the Tesla dealerships dealing with all the firebombing. And even Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, back April 13th, I believe it was, he had an incident at his residence. And then as Travis mentioned, you had the couple that were shot down in cold blood last week. And now we have this this incident. And, you know, the definition of terrorism, it's a calculated use of violence to generate a climate of fear for a particular political objective. And it just seems to me that we're hesitant to identify and categorize these incidents as domestic terrorism because I guess the belief that we're protecting society, but people need to know so they can make decisions for themselves relative to their safety. I think it's pretty clear the target of this were people that were demonstrating for a particular ideology, and the attack was against them because of that ideology. And, you know, we're going to see this continue to escalate and increase if we don't take measures and to try to thwart these incidents from occurring.
I totally agree. Great commentary, gentlemen. I do want to point out that we've got a lot of our fan base is growing with Betty Dunn and Deborah Thatcher and Patty Carson or Corson on Facebook. Thank you guys so much for what you're saying. Hey, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different places, right? Especially if we're looking online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Their motto is even proudly serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor and go to Gauls.com. And listen to this, for the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code where you can get 15% off. It's Radio 15. All you have to do is type that in on your next purchase at Gauls.com. That is good through June the 31st, Radio 15, in order to get 15% off. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. If you have family, friends, and loved ones, hook them up with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends at Gauls.com. And hey, I'm looking at a pair of boots right now at Gauls.com. Fantastic stuff, fantastic resources. Check it out. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We're a law enforcement talk show. We're joined by retired Major Travis Yates and also Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. And we just got done talking about our main topic. You guys ready to roll to our first update article? All right. We've got, this is going to be in Lieutenant Jeff Winninger's wheelhouse from LAPD, KTVU.com. So the San Francisco Police Chief, Bill Scott, has been tapped to head the LA Metro Police Force. I've actually learned something about this from Lieutenant Jeff I wanted to share with our audience. So in Los Angeles, after announcing his resignation in San Francisco, Police Chief Bill Scott is set to become the inaugural chief of the in-house police department at the Los Angeles Metropolitan Transportation Authority, and this is their public transit system. Bill Scott served over 8 years as police chief in San Francisco. He was appointed back in 2017 by then-Mayor Ed Lee, and prior to San Francisco, he actually spent 27 years where? The Los Angeles Police Department, and that's where Jeff Winninger's knowledge of this stuff comes in. So Scott is going to be responsible for building the department from the ground up, will play a key role in safety planning for major upcoming global events. This is what the LA Metro said. Los Angeles is actually slated to host the Summer Olympics in 2028 and the World Cup in 2026. Now, my wife is Colombian, and she's going to be all over me about trying to get over there for the World Cup. I can already tell you now, because, you know, Colombian soccer, need I say anything more? You know, whether I like soccer or not, I have to like soccer because I'm married to a Colombian. But Jeff Winninger, I'm kind of curious to get some of the inside scoop on this and the background with the Transit Authority too.
Yeah, so like you said, Bill Scott, he left the LAPD after 27 years. He left back in 2017, where he took over as the head of San Francisco Police Department, and he served a total of 8 years there. And while he was with the LAPD, he was the deputy chief in charge of the South Bureau, which arguably is a bureau that has some of the most challenges. It definitely takes somebody that has to have some critical thinking skills and interpersonal skills and be able to work with the community. and try to bridge that gap between the police department and the community that we serve. You know, he's definitely experienced. He's got the you know, the emotional intelligence, and he's very astute politically. While he was with the San Francisco Police Department, you saw some significant improvements. The homicides were the lowest that they've ever been in, or they've been within the last 60 years. Gun violence was down 50%, and property crime was down 20%. So he made a lot of improvements, not only in crime, but also in community relations, the use of force policy, and de-escalation training for the officers while he was there. So he did an outstanding job. It doesn't surprise me that they want to bring him back to head the MTA. Basically what the MTA is it used to be its own police department. And then back in 1997, they disbanded it. And the LAPD absorbed about 60% of the sworn personnel, and the LA County Sheriff's absorbed the other 40%. And then those two agencies provided the personnel to police the rails and the buses and all that. It just really didn't work because the vast majority of the officers that were working those details were on an overtime basis. And you just didn't have the commitment. You didn't have, you know, the dedication and basically the ownership of that as a division where you were getting the best out of your personnel. And there's been a huge increase in violent crime over the past couple of years. In LA on the transit systems, just like we have seen in New York City. So I'm not surprised that they're bringing him in. The timing is not a surprise as well. You know, like you said, you have the World Cup coming in 26. You also have the Super Bowl coming in 27, and then the Olympics in 28, but not just the Olympics, you got the Paralympics as well in 28. So you need somebody that is like Bill Scott. Now, if I were to describe him, he's an individual that listens carefully. He questions thoughtfully. And he speaks deliberately, and he can rally the troops behind him, not only within his own organization, but he knows how to work with other agencies in a collaborative measured way to achieve an ultimate multi-agency goal and objective. So I think he's an outstanding pick, and I think he's going to work very well with Chief Jim McDonald with the LAPD and Sheriff Luna with the LA County Sheriff's Department. And we're going to see some improvements.
Well, it kind of sounds to me, Travis, that he's already read your book, Courageous Police Leader.
Well, I appreciate Jeff's take, and I defer to what Jeff said about Bill. He knows him. He worked around him. But I do have Bill in my course, the Courageous Police Leader. Of course, I've taught around the country many, many, many times in the last 10 years because one of his famous policies in San Francisco, which threatened officer safety, was to disband placing suspects sitting on the ground because it, quote, demeaned suspects. He also changed the term, I believe, away from suspects. So when Jeff says he's astute politically, yeah, he certainly is. And that was a decision he made because of San Francisco politics, but it was a decision that did not enhance officer safety. I mean, when you have someone in handcuffs or someone not in handcuffs and you set them on the ground, you get to delay their response time somewhat if you think they may respond in a negative fashion. And by saying you can never set them on the ground, that does not give any advantage to officers. So listen, that's one of my downfalls. You know, I don't really play politics, and I make decisions based on behalf of officer safety. But in San Francisco, you really can't do that. And so that's probably why he stayed 8 years, unlike me, that would have stayed 8 minutes. So good for him. I wish him well.
You know, well, you know, go ahead.
That would be a product of his experience with the LAPD. We don't do what they call a curbside stop, where you take people out of the car, you handcuff them, and send them on the curb. We don't do that either. You know, you place them facing up against the wall, or you put them handcuffed in the back seat of a police vehicle. So you know, it was like that almost the entire time I was with the LAPD. So for the same reasons, but that's something that was ingrained into him through the LAPD, I'm sure.
I got to admit, whenever I go to Carmel, my favorite place on this earth, you know, I fly into San Francisco and I try to beat out of there as quick as I can and get that down the Carmel, you know, which is southwest of there. But it's nice to hear that. I probably have been missing out over the last 8 years of not actually spending more time in San Francisco. Now I find out. But hey, it's time for a second commercial break. Guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their, remember this, CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm, or even to a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to, plus they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on June the 11th, they got Reasonable Suspicion Deep Dive. Important stuff. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers at Blue and step up your legal game, because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We've got a retired Major Travis Yates from the Tulsa Police Department on the show. Also, a retired Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger from LAPD. And we've been talking about the latest tap, former LAPD that also went to San Francisco. He had the chief spot, top job over there for the last 8 years. And now he's back at NLA, but he's in charge of the transit authority now. And they're kind of redoing the structure over there. And he's the guy in charge. And of course, they've got a Super Bowl. They've got the World Cup coming up. And I'm missing one event. I don't remember which one it was. Let's see, World Cup, Super Bowl. And what am I missing,
Olympics.
Jeff? Olympics. Thank you. Oh, and the Paralympics too. Got it. So important stuff. So anyhow, so good deal and good inside scoop on that. Any more on that? Or are you guys ready to roll on to our first video? All right. So we've got several stories. We actually have two stories of hostage takers that get taken out by the cops that are pretty spectacular. But the first one that we're going to start off with is not that. So I'm kind of hoping that we can get through both the hostage situations in the show too. But our stories with video components, if you're listening to the show audibly, your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. And in exchange for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're being left out. But if you have to see a particular video that we cover, and there are several that might qualify today, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, or even you can even type in Law Enforcement Talk Show, and it'll take you to all of our content. The very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will produces a special version of this live show. He'll embed every video that we talk about as we're talking about it. Pictures of the good guys, the bad guys pop up as we're talking about them. It's really a great way to watch the show. It's not live, it's delayed, but that goes up at 9 o'clock the next morning on the Rumble channel. That happens Tuesday through Saturday. So on this particular story, and it's a pretty wild story with a video component, at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better, Aurora Police, and we actually have the Aurora Police Chief that's going to be joining our show, I believe, this week. And I mean joining our show permanently. But Aurora Police released body cam in a deadly shooting of a trespasser, of all people, after a struggle with a police officer.
You need to leave. Back off of me. 212, stop me, emergency cover. Get back, I'm going to fucking shoot you, dude. Get back. Get off me, man. What are you doing? Come on. You're not in trouble.
What?
You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble, man. Step it up, step it up. Hey, man, help me! Oh, Huh? Get back. Get back. Get on the ground. Get on the ground now. Get on the ground. I'm going to shoot you if you do not get on the ground. Get on the ground. Shots fired.
So Aurora, Colorado. So the Aurora police, they released a body cam video involving this deadly shooting. It's an unarmed man reportedly trespassed on a private park and ride lot that serves the Denver International Airport. And it happened earlier this month. So it will actually, the month just clicked over. So earlier in May. So the shooting happened at May 12th and police received a 911 call. It was a suspicious person call, a guy trespassing at this place called the parking spot. And the 911 caller though said the suspect, he's not wearing shoes. He appeared to be under the influence, but he also said that he was not injured, did not appear to have any weapons, was not acting in a threatening manner. So low priority call, trespassing call. And they did bump it up, though, because they started getting additional calls about people saying, hey, he's trying to unlock people's cars and stuff. So they sent a deputy out there, or an officer. And dispatchers, after they upgraded the officer, he rolls up there. And the suspect was loitering in the back area in a grassy field when the cop gets there. Officer encounters the guy, and he's identified as a 32-year-old Rashad Terrell Johnson. And our cop tries to interact with the bad guy, but he's just being ignored by the bad guy. And again, the chief is Todd Chamberlain, who's going to be joining the show later this week. Body cam video shows the officer trying several de-escalation techniques, and our bad guy charges at him. So the officer starts with an expandable baton, but they get in a fight, and then he does the taser, deploys that two times. I didn't see anything that really it was successfully deployed. Our cop ends up being on the ground fighting with the bad guy, and repeatedly telling the bad guy to back off, warning him that he's going to shoot him if he doesn't stop. And of course, remember, the bad guy tackles our officer, knocks him on the ground, ends up getting at least a magazine or magazine pouch from the officer, taking it off his gun belt. And now the body cam shows the officer wrestling with the bad guy nearly a minute as he tries to get him off. And our officer was also the only guy there. He had no backup. And apparently there was no backup readily available. So the chief said that, well, I'll tell you what happened. The bad guy gets back up, separates himself from our officer. He's got the magazines, now the spare ammo for a cop. Cop draws down on him with his handgun at this point. Remember, the cop's already exhausted. Expandable baton, which is basically a lead pipe. Taser. And now he's got the gun. Bad guy starts walking towards the cop after a little bit of a delay and advancing on him. And then our cop ends up shooting the bad guy. Denver 7 asked the chief, Chamberlain, they asked him, you know, why it went down. He said a trespassing call or guy was unarmed. Remember, we're using lethal on an unarmed guy, but our panelists will explain how that can come into play and how it can be justified. And the chief added that de-escalation methods were used, they failed to work, and that there's not necessarily, due to the layout of the area and the amount of cops they have, that backup was not readily available. The chief also said it appeared the taser did make contact, but they're doing an ongoing investigation to get more information and to see whether they have to change anything that they're doing. So that's kind of what went down. Commentary on this, guys. We've got about 5.5 minutes before we go our next commercial break. Lieutenant Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, you know, like you said, initially this came out as a pretty low priority call, but then it was elevated. And optimally, it would have been nice to have a minimum of two officers there, but that's not what occurred. So this officer initially made contact. He tried to make, you know, verbal conversation with the individual, who wasn't very responsive to him. But let's fast forward to when the guy escalated. He escalated and he charged the officer. The officer, like you said, he tried to use a taser. He tried to use a collapsible baton. And the reality was he got involved in a physical altercation. During that physical altercation, you could hear the officer calling for help, yelling for help. And the fact that the suspect was able to get a magazine off of his gun belt, that's concerning. Now, you have to remember, a police officer, when they're engaged in a hand-to-hand combat, there's always one gun is at every gunfight or every physical altercation. And that is a gun that has to be protected. So the officer's at a disadvantage. Oftentimes, cupping that gun to prevent the suspect from being able to obtain control of it while fighting with only one other hand, which gives the suspect an unbelievable advantage. And this officer yelling for help, it was very clear to me that he knew that he was up against a credible threat. And he was fortunate enough for the suspect to create distance. But then when he came to attack him again, the one thing that I noticed was that the officer, knowing that he was involved in a physical altercation, and he knew how challenging that was to the point where he was yelling for help, I was listening and I didn't hear any lights and sirens coming. So this officer didn't have any indication that he was going to have anybody other than himself to get to thwart this threat. So the general citizens will look at that and say, well, you shot an unarmed suspect, but that does not mean that he was not a lethal threat to this officer, especially after having been involved in an ongoing, protracted, drawn out physical altercation, which we all know, if you've been in law enforcement for any period of time, you've been involved in those types of physical altercations, and they're unbelievably draining. So, you know, the chief, Chamberlain, he's going to have he's got his work cut out for him to articulate so the citizenry understands the actions of the officer. But I believe in this instance, when you're looking at the objective reasonableness of the officer, his actions are exactly what we'd want them to be.
Thanks. All right, Dr. Travis.
Well, Jeff, is such great points, because those are points that aren't often discussed. And people tend to forget that in the 70s, one quarter of all police officer deaths were from their own weapons. There's always a weapon on the call. And I want to just make two quick points. First point is, for all law enforcement that's listening or watching this, as soon as that suspect starts acting like you see there, get backup coming. I know they may be for who knows how many miles, but just go ahead and get that coming, because you know there's something odd there that you're not sure of. But secondly, I think for all police leaders out there, let's put an end to this unarmed myth, this thing that the media is going to, because you know the media is going to clip this video at the very end of this where we shoot the unarmed guy, and they're going to make a big deal about it, and the activists are going to pile on, the politicians are going to pile on. Let's just start, like Jeff said, let's start educating people now. I think the citizens and suspects need to have that education. Hey, if you attack a police officer, gun or not, this could occur to you. So here's an idea. Don't attack a police officer. I wrote an article about that one time, and people lost their mind. I said, listen, the best way to protect yourself is don't attack a police officer. There's no rule that I can attack an officer violently, and if I don't have a gun, I'll have to worry about losing my life. No, as you just saw, objective reasonableness, that video clearly demonstrates it. Okay, if there's ever a reason to shoot an unarmed person, what you just saw as he escalated his use of force, and as he gave multiple commands, as he gave multiple warnings, I mean, he warned the guy, I'm going to shoot you if you do this again, and he does it again. Let's turn the tables on what the media will always do, and instead of chiefs and our leaders coming, well, we're going to look at it. Listen, that chief knows what we just said right here. He knows that's objectively reasonable, that that's a reasonable use of force. Let's get out front of that, and let's start educating the public about this. Because I think most public, if you were to ask them today, they'd say, oh, yeah, police can't shoot unarmed people, because that's been the narrative. So let's start getting ahead of that now and start talking about that.
Yeah, all good points, gentlemen. Yeah, we always want to be one step ahead of the bad guy. If he wants to go fisticuffs, we go, you know, impact weapons. Cop did that. But you can always have a bad guy that can have a greater skill set than you. And you can shoot an unarmed guy all day long, but he had already disarmed the cop, you know, too, as far as ammo goes. Look, commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about gunlearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. And that's like we were just talking about, but it's what we don't know about guns that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, forensic organizations, federal agencies, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency and you're watching the show, you're a sheriff or a chief, they've got a great deal for you. The founder, Dan O'Kelly, has worked it out where you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Law enforcement talk show with Major Travis Yates and Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger from Tulsa and LAPD, respectively. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Any more words involving our last story? Or you guys, let me do this here. I know, Jeff, you've got a new book that's coming out. Hasn't been released yet. Can you kind of whet the appetite on the book and the cover? And I know that you couldn't get a hold of Travis Yates in time to be the cover model, but I know whenever you guys do the show together, I can't resist, Travis. I'm sorry, but tell our users how they get a hold of the book, and then I also want to mention Courageous Police Leaders. So go ahead.
Yeah, the book, it's called On Thin Ice, and that's kind of a play off of my ice hockey background and my law enforcement experiences. But ultimately, you can reach out to jeffwenninger.com. And if you can't spell my last name, go to onthiniceBook.com and it'll take you to the landing page and you can get all signed up.
Love it. Love it. And Dr. Travis Yates, you've written the book, Courageous Police Leader, and you travel the country now talking about the same topic as well. Can you give our audience a little bit more information?
Yeah. I wrote the book in 2019 as sort of a warning. If we don't start changing the way we lead, something like 2020 may happen, although I didn't know about 2020 at the time. It all happened. So surely not enough people bought the book, but the book is still very popular. Just last week, it hit the top 100 on Amazon again. So wow. It's off and on. So it's been very surprising. I've been very blessed to have that. But I've been teaching that seminar for almost a decade now that the book is based on. And you can get all that information, including articles and podcasts I do on the same topic, courage and leadership, at travisyates.org.
And you're also you're on the board with the Wounded Blue, right? With Randy Sutton, the woundedblue.org.
Yeah.
You got some stuff going with Antonio Bandiero with the Blue the Gold too, right?
Yeah, I do work with Antonio at Blue the Gold Training. I do a class called Seconds for Survival. I often mention a lot of those principles here on the show when we watch these videos. It's the whole idea behind it is pre-attack indicators and human behavior analysis, and to be able to predict behavior before you see it, get ahead of that fight, so to speak. Been very, very popular. I've been teaching that one longer than the leadership class, and that's been a very popular class. But yeah, Wounded Blue, their conference is coming up in September. It's in Vegas. It's a summit revolving mainly state officer safety, mental wellness, risk management. Incredible conference. I hope to see everybody there.
Love it. All right, guys. Well, you think that we have time to get in these two hostage stories in real quick? I'm gonna try that. Unless the only other option would be to cover the judge dropping the case. We got to go to the video. So here we go, guys. Rumble.com. This is Butters, the channel. NYPD officer shoot a man threatening his mother with a knife, and they're inside of an apartment. And this is in the Bronx.
Don't do it. Drop the knife. She's dead. And if you don't do it, she's dead.
Drop it.
Show me.
Drop it.
Motherfucking snake.
Drop it.
Fuck you and your mother. Fuck you and your mother. Fuck you. Show me. Show me. If you don't shoot me, she's dead. If you don't shoot me, I swear to God.
Drop it.
I swear to God.
Man, just drop it.
Stick.
Just drop it.
I swear to God.
Just drop it.
You don't shoot me. Now, you are dead.
Manny, we don't have to go that route. We don't have to go that route.
Shut up.
Shut up. We don't have to go that route.
Shut up.
We don't have to go that route.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Boss,
you understand me? If you don't.
Danny, it's not worth it.
I'm gonna cut the gag.
Danny, don't do it.
This is the serious part.
Don't do it.
Listen to me. You don't hurt.
I
want to see.
He has a knife to her neck.
I want to see.
sorry.
$1,000. I swear to God. Tell me, motherfucker. Tell me.
It's not worth it.
So 34-year-old bad guy holding the knife. His name is Rubistello. He's holding the knife to his mother's neck. He ends up being shot by police responding to the apartment in Pelham Bay section of the Bronx. The security guard is heard screaming from the apartment, calling police around 11:20 p.m. So it's almost midnight on Thursday. And when the two NYPD officers get there, a family member lets them inside the apartment, and then they encounter our suspect, who's holding a 61-year-old mother at knife point. Officers tried to de-escalate the situation for nearly 2.5 minutes as he threatens to kill his mother. He's pretty belligerent with the verbiage, and he's moving the knife near her neck. And that's when police said that they opened fire, discharged one round, and they freed the woman. The man was rushed to the Jacoby Hospital in critical condition. His mother was not physically hurt, and she's listed in stable condition. Police did recover a knife at the scene. That's the way it goes down. Commentary on this, because we got two stories back to back like this. Dr. Travis Yates.
Yeah, I think my wife said it best. I was reviewing this video this morning, and she goes, that's very annoying. And yeah, it was, because what the suspect was saying, and we need to take it very seriously, if you don't shoot me, I'm going to kill her. And it was difficult to comply with his wishes when he was right behind his mother with a knife to her throat, but he stepped out in the open a few times, and we just continued to just talk to him and let him go back to his mother. So this one's pretty easy. Like, I would take what he said very seriously. If you don't shoot me, I'm going to kill her. So guess what? We shoot him. He's carrying a knife and he's threatening somebody right there in close proximity. He has the means to do it. We delay. We finally do it, but man, it puts her in a lot of danger. And so once again, we see another video where officers are very hesitant to do what needs to be done. No one wants to do it, but it has to be done in certain situations.
Jeff, single shot on this one too. I love it.
Yeah, it was a good outcome, but I agree with Travis. I'll piggyback on what he had to say. You know, he had the imminent threat. He had the present ability, demonstrated the desire, and, you know, had the will to kill his mother. And I would have liked to have seen them fire. I think it was about 4 minutes that they were trying to talk with this guy. And they had target acquisition a number of times. You have to take that shot. Waiting that 4 minutes, you're giving him 4 minutes where he has the ability to kill her at any time.
And another thing I just point out, I mean, I know that we're in close quarters here inside the apartment, but no, you know, NYPD, they're from what I understand, they don't really carry rifles, NYPD. Close quarter shooting, I mean, the guy was proficient with a pistol and he should have been at that distance, but I'm glad he finally took the shot. But one shot tells me that he was confident enough to know that he was going to, you know, hit the target with a single shot, but he didn't do a mag dump, thank God, because of the hostage situation too. So,
yeah, the other thing I would like to have seen is put the taser away. This is not a taser scenario. I would have liked to split the suspect's attention. The one officer who had the taser could have perhaps deployed himself against the other wall, where you would have had the guy triangulated, and you could have easily distracted him, and one of the guys would have had a clear shot much earlier than 4 minutes in. So,
Rumble.com. This is Butter. Fresno police officer fatally shoots a suspect in the head who's holding a woman hostage. So another hostage situation in Fresno.
Hey, everybody, move out the way. Everybody move out the way. Hey, put the knife down. Get out the way. Get out the way. Hey, put the knife down. Hey, I do not want to shoot you. Hey, put the knife down. You're going to get shot. Put the knife down. Put the knife down. Hey, get down. Put the knife down. Facts with NOIS.
A woman died after being shot by Fresno police. She held a knife to an innocent bystander. Fresno police say that 39-year-old Joanna Lopez, female, died on Friday, April the 18th. It starts April the 10th at the Fax Transit Center in central Fresno. And this driver sees Lopez, our bad girl, with a knife and calls police. When the cops get there, they order Lopez to drop the knife. And she's in, they're also telling the two people that are there around her to get away, but they don't do it. And so she grabs one of the women that's standing next to her, puts the knife to the back of that woman's neck. And then the officers, at one point they told the woman to duck, but you know, she didn't want to make a movement in fear of being stabbed, I guess. And so officers say Lopez refused their commands. Officer fires one round, hits Lopez in the head. bystanders not injured. Commentary on that one. We got over 2.5 minutes. Travis.
Well, if there's any recommendation for the keto diet, this is it. If you stay ready, you don't have to be ready. And that woman in front of her could have, you know, this is why I don't like to run, but I do it because I want to be able to run 100 yards as quick as I can for the zombie apocalypse. When she was in the zombie apocalypse, run away. But she was physically unable to run away. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, she was not hurting on size. So, Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, I believe that the officer acted admirably here. Came up on target, took the headshot, and ended this thing in a short period of time. And that's the way these type of incidents have to occur. Back in 2004, at the Mexican consulate, which is in the geographic area of Rampart Division where I was working, Sergeant Hector Feliciano rolled up on a situation where there was a female that was being held hostage, and he rolled up and took a headshot, single shot. And, you know, not surprising, he was trained at Metropolitan Division by Scotty Reitz, one of the finest firearm instructors that you'll find in this country. So, but no, you have to be prepared. So you're not paid for what you do on a daily, what you do on a daily basis. It's you're paid for what, God forbid, you might have to do, and you better be prepared to be able to take that shot.
Yeah. And there's a confidence level too, when you take that single shot with the hostage there too.
Yeah. And we can't dismiss the angle. He worked his angles very, very well. He was able to angle around to where the victim really wasn't put in the line of fire. So excellent job by the officer.
Yeah. It seemed like he was aware of surrounding. I appreciate him. You know, it was noteworthy that he gave the command. He was trying to get some distance between some of the pedestrians that were there that just maybe, I don't know, you know, I mean, in Fresno, we also had another one where, you know, back in the day, some other bad stuff happened. And in San Francisco, prior to your buddy working there, Jeff, there was a guy with a knife that they did not neutralize before someone came out of a store, held a knife, and he held the knife to that victim. And she ended up, there was a shootout. He ended up, you know, slicing her, and she got shot by the police and died, and the bad guy got killed too. So being aware of all the surroundings, everything going on, and it's fluid, I was impressed with how the cop, you know, handled it. So, well, guys, it's been another great show with the, and you guys are a good team together. You know, the Jeff and Travis show, I love it. But thank you guys so much for being on the show. On thinicebook.com or jeffwinninger.com to get more information on Thin Ice, and also travishh.org for the Courageous Police Leader. But I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they also have that special going for $1,000. You not only get a really cool looking guitar, but you get it signed by one of your favorite country music artists. And that is at guitars4cops.com. So please check that out. And you guys will be glad you did. You know, I give to monthly to the Wounded Blue. And I know it's an organization that's not going to embarrass me. And you don't have to worry about that with them. And they're doing God's work around the country. And Travis H. is involved with them as well. So it's really a great organization. And they do have that summit up coming up. And you can take your wife to it, too. So it's great. A shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Live, and SafeguardRecruiting.com. Also, TwoBells.com. And also, TampaFP.com, FormerLawman.com, LawOfficer.com. Thanks, guys, for your support. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern, LeoRoundtable.com.